to offer you this lesson from Unity of the Keys Spiritual Center.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm taking them home with me. You know? I know for some of us in our memories, this is a very religious day, shall we say. But I start all of my services with a joke. Because sometimes we take this gaudy stuff pretty serious. Now, it is serious, but not really. It's a way of living. It's a choice. It's how we interact with each other and all the human experiences that take place with it. So I was, when I got ordained, I was given this wonderful Bible. It has my name inscribed on it. Great gift, right? My mom gave me 3 joke books for ordination. My mom's all right. All right. She says, I don't know if you're going to like this or not, but I found this. And I went, Ma, we're good. So I read a joke to my wife, Susan, last night. I said, what do you think? She said, you know, it's all right. She said, don't you have an Easter joke? And I said, the joke books don't go Easter book. Yeah. You know? I turned the page and there was an Easter joke. You know, no surprises. I once asked my 3rd grade Sunday school class to stand up and share in just 1 sentence what Easter means to me. Some of the answers were sweet and some of them were thought-provoking. However, there's one that I remember the most. Egg salad sandwiches for the entire week. That's it. Yeah, that's all I got. And isn't that the truth? I want to share with you a different take on the Easter story. I've given this Easter talk, not the one I'm doing today, because no talk is ever alike. It just isn't. And I'll share with you that I lost my iPad on a plane. And you know how it says find your iPad, right? I'm like, well, I got the, I'll find it. This will be great. Except when you're not on Wi-Fi, it doesn't work. And you know how they tell you on the planes to turn off your Wi-Fi? That's what I said. Well, every talk I've ever given is in this Wi-Fi. It was in my iPad. Now, I back things up. You know, I get it. I got a hard drive, an external hard drive. I got the cloud. We're good. I go to look and not that particular app is not there. It's not there. So I cried for a week. And then I got up in the middle of the night. Some of us have to do that in the middle of the night. And I got up, and I'm walking into the bathroom, and I said, yo, God, this is really. And God said, Mo, you are not the same person you were yesterday. Those talks are not going to be the same tomorrow. And I went, yeah, but all that. No, Mo, forget it. And I slept. And I bought a new iPad, and I uploaded it from the cloud, and there all the apps were, boom, there were all my talks. I don't know how that works. I don't know. I don't try to analyze it. It's just good. So I looked at my previous Easter talks and went, ech. See? So I said, we have to come up with a new one. So I was at a church. I was a guest at a church. And they had a Unity. They had a speaker who was soon to become licensed Unity teacher. So this church was giving him a platform. Wonderful. And he talked about the death of our human experience. And I was not very fond of the talk at all. And I went, oh my goodness, that's not Unity. You know, and I was frustrated. And I went, well, I'm going to get an opportunity to talk about death again. So here we are. So then you guys accepted my invitation to come today. Because is this not the death story? This man, Jesus, dies. However you want to handle that Good Friday business. And he dies, but then the tomb is opened up and he's gone. And there's this whole story around that. So I'm going to share with you what John says about it, who is the metaphysician of the 4 Gospels. He does some wonderful metaphysical talks. So I'm in John chapter 20. And it's a story you've all heard before, but I want to bring out 4 or 5 points within this story to affect our lives as it relates to our death experiences. Early in the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings laying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, followed him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you weeping, looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, you have carried him away. Tell me where you have laid him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabbi." Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that she had said these things to her. Familiar. The difference, there's a couple of idiosyncrasies in here that I want to point out. It doesn't say who Peter's running with. They don't tell you the name. None of the Gospels do. So it was whom Jesus loved, and they assume that's the disciple John, who represented love. So you'll read some places that John and Peter ran to the tomb. A lot of the music around Christmas resurrection is about John and Peter. So it's an assumption, though. Probably not a bad one, all things considered. But interestingly enough, that they go in and they see that there's no body, and they go, "Oh, well," and they run back. Not the least bit perturbed. Interesting. But Mary says, whoa, back up. We got a problem. There's no body. What has happened to this body? And so the two angels appear. And we know metaphysically angels are messengers from God. They are sent to deliver some form of a message. And interesting, they're at the head and at the foot of Jesus. They encompass the entire being that used to sit there. I saw on Facebook somebody posted a little, and it showed a bench. And the linen wrappings folded. And the caption read, "So what, he ascended and then came back and folded?" You know, and you're like, so you're not supposed to make logical sense of any of this. You're supposed to go with the metaphysical feeling and emotions around it, which is why Mary gets to see Jesus in the partial ascension stage, not the disciples, who are the masculinity side. You see, so they needed the feminine side, the feminine intuitive nature, to get a let go of the facts of how this is possible and understand that it is possible. You see, our intellectual brain will talk us out of it. We'll say it's rubbish. We'll say there's no way that somebody can ascend like that. And we talk ourselves flat out of this whole experience. So it's Mary that has to have it and go back and tell the disciples, "Look, I saw Jesus." And then there's the rest of the story after that. And interestingly enough, the disciples, who have been told repeatedly throughout his ministry that this was going to happen, and they can't believe it, so they run to the tomb. Now, if they really believed in the resurrection of this man Jesus, whom they loved, they would have had no need to run to the tomb. They would have, "Oh yeah, of course, he told us he was going to do that." Right? That didn't happen. They're like, "Say what? He's not there?" Boom, off they go to investigate. Right? And so I want to share with you two other scriptures where Jesus tells them this is going to happen. Right? And this one is in John 11. And it says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Now that is a whole talk on its own. But I'm going to give you a short version. He uses two words here. Believe. The first word is believe. Now, we as humans experience, on a good day, believe the resurrection is possible. We believe it. But he goes on and says that if you believe, even though you die, you will live. And metaphysically, and Unity interprets this, that you can believe in the resurrection, but our human body dies anyway. But you get to live because you're going to come back. Your soul will continue the cycle of the human experience until we have that resurrection. So you will live even though you die, because you believed. Now, he goes for a little further and he says, but if you live and believe, you will not die, but you will live forever. See? So Unity 101 teaches us that we need to believe in the resurrection. Your upper educational level of metaphysics says that we need to live as if we believe. Two different things. So the disciples believe, but they're not able to live that life yet. And so we continue this evolutionary process until we get it right. Now, that's not a big deal, right? We just do the best we can in this life experience, but the more our belief extends itself, the more we start to live that truth of who we are. That in fact, there is no death. There is only life. Now we know this intellectually, but our emotional sense says that's not possible because we have friends who die. And so our mortal self, that human part of us, our personal ego, talks us out of living. We believe the resurrection's possible. We demonstrate it through our celebration today. We do that, and yet we make it okay to die. And it's a quandary for us. Is not our society totally infused with the death principle? Everything we do is based on we're going to die. But what if that wasn't the case? What if we really could believe and live a life without death, without pain, without sorrow, without any loss of limbs? You see, because that is possible in the resurrection of the Christ within us. But we've been told generations after generations that that's not our truth. So we find it hard to believe that that's possible. And so we get stuck in the first stage, in the belief stage. We get stuck right there. You know, and then some say, well, if it's so true, how come Charles Fillmore isn't still alive today? I get it. He's working on it, just as the rest of us are working on it. You know, but he reached a plateau and his body said, we're ready now. So he's come back somewhere along the line, you know, or however that's happening. And see, the thing about the angels, you know, some say it's a psychic phenomenon, some say it's hogwash, you know, however you want to feel about the angels. The idea about the angels is that those are the ones that are being sent down to help us understand that there is the resurrection of the Christ within us. They're the ones that are trying to help us understand that, because they still have a mission to get us all there, to get us all to that place. So they find it convenient in our psyche to be present for us. Some of us have experienced that, however that unfolds. Whether it's that intuitive nature, it's that song on the radio, it's the knock on the door, whatever it is, we feel like someone, something has spoken to us and is guiding us to a new direction, a new path. And so we want to take it and we go, oh, you won't believe what happened to me yesterday. I saw this and I saw that, right? That's our belief system kicking in, that there is the possibility to live a full, fulfilling life without the option of death. Can you believe it? Raise your hands. Choose to believe. What have you got to lose? Right? You've got everything to gain by accepting a simple belief that there is the possibility that the body does not need to die. I'm all in. You know, the oldest person to live, I think, is 122. I think, and she's still alive, I think. It's pretty cool. And she's still active. How cool is that? And when you talk to her, she'll say things like, hey, I don't want to die. I choose to live. And is it as simple as a choice? Unity would say yes, because the law of mind action is how we run our life. So you see, living and believing that Jesus brings out in I am the resurrection and the life, He's saying, if you believe in him who sent me, not believing in Jesus, but believing in him who sent me, because Jesus is the man who said it's all possible. He said, if you handle this, just because I did it doesn't mean you can't do it. See, we tend to put Jesus on a pedestal, right? And for a lot of us, we were raised that he belongs on the pedestal. He belongs there. But that's why we don't have Jesus hanging from the cross. Because we believe it's life that we celebrate this time of year, not death. Even though death has taken on so much of our thinking, so much of our being is based on how will this harm us? If I take too much of this or too little of that, if I eat too much of this, if I eat too much of that. You know, and I always laugh is the wrong word. I think about George Burns. You guys remember George Burns? Right? You know, he smoked a cigar every day. He didn't die of cancer. How is that possible? How is that possible? It's possible because he didn't believe he was gonna. He shifted that. Even though everybody around him said, you know, that's bad for you. And he said, please leave while I continue to smoke. I don't want you in my consciousness. And that's the law of mind action. What you choose to believe, you will create in your body. That's the freedom we have to shift what we believe, to no longer take on what is not ours. You see, so if you want to believe that M&Ms are bad for you, please stop eating them. But as for me, I like the chocolate-covered peanut ones, okay? And I believe they will never harm me. Now, I'm not eating 1,000 a day, right? But I understand that I get to choose what I believe is appropriate for me. It may not be appropriate for you and your thinking. As for me, I've decided that I have a contract to live my life happy, mobile, and collective consciousness until I'm 125. Because I can't believe beyond that yet. I'm working on it. And I figure if I can have a contract that I'm a full functioning human being until I'm 125, I'm a happy camper. And next time, maybe my contract will be 150. So I want to live my life with that belief. So the choices I make need to be in alignment with that. Otherwise, my belief is weakened. You see? So I don't want to hear talk about how bad life is and how I'm dying. Go away. I don't want that in my consciousness. I've changed the channel. You know, because the news is the death report. So, you know, why are we watching that stuff? And God forbid, don't read the obituaries just to see what age they are. Right? Because we're agreeing with the state of consciousness that says, oh, they were 90. They must have lived a good life. It's okay that they died. Because they're 90. Right? Oh, they're 49. This is awful that they died. You see the thinking that's in there? So we have to change our thinking about that. Anybody dying is an expression of the sorrow within us. And so in order for us to have the true Christ resurrection, we have to believe that there is no death. You see? It's a tough one. It's a tough one when everything around us says otherwise. We have to be steadfast and strong, just as Jesus, our way shower, was. He had to stay solid that he could not and would not allow other thinking to come into his consciousness. He found it and he showed us that it could be done. He's the way shower. He's not the one we honor. We honor the Christ nature within us, which is our total connection with God. Jesus is the man. Jesus Christ is the man that recognized how he was the Son of God. And that Christ nature within us is the embodiment of all possibilities with God. Why would God, who we say is good, everywhere present, allow death? Doesn't jive. It's incongruent. Therefore, man has made death, not God. It is man-made. And what man makes can be changed. Like that, it can be changed. Now, who believes? Do you believe it's possible? Go there. That's the first step in that Christ resurrecting within you. Because every time you give up a belief system about being weak, about being in pain, about not having enough. Those are human elements that can be shifted like that. And every time you give up one of those beliefs and take on the resurrection that all is possible, your belief system rises. And the higher it gets, the more you feel and embody that Christ nature within us. And that's what the death of Jesus represents. He says, "Don't touch me, Mary," because he's in that state where he has not totally transformed. He's totally not made it, because on the human experience, it's possible that that psyche could be harmed, because each of us has to experience it on our own level. No matter what is going on with anybody around us, we choose what we're going to believe and what we choose to give our power and attention to. So are you giving your attention to the possibility of us dying? How are you spending your energy around that? You know? So in your homework assignment, I'm going to stop talking because I could go on for a little longer, and I'm not going to do that to you. Your homework assignment is this. Today, just today, anytime you think about how your life might end, and trust me, you're doing it all the time. I want you to choose. I choose not to believe that. Just for today, I choose life, L-I-F-E. Make a shift. Flip the conscious thinking. You'll see pharmaceutical commercials on TV, right? You'll see so many things that support our society to die. Your job is to deny it. To deny its power on you. Say, "That's not mine, that's somebody else's, thank you very much. That's not mine, I'm going to give it away. I deny that into my consciousness. I am alive with the Christ Spirit." That's what this day means. I am alive with the Christ Spirit, and I choose life over death. Affirm with me, I choose life over death. I choose life over death. Now as if you believed it. I choose life over death. Do that. And you'll find things start to dissipate that used to cause you harm. You'll make different choices. Are you with me?
Yes.
How many believe it's possible? Thank you. Thank you. Namaste.